And Jesus took him and healed him and sent him on his way. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. It says, a certain man, anthropos tis, which can also mean any man, and indeed that's the interpretation that Bede the Venerable gives in his commentary on this passage. He says that this man with dropsy stands there in our place. It's a real event, and nonetheless there is a significance for each one of us. So this man in our place was suffering from dropsy, which is edema, water retention. You can see modern cases of it in the arms or in the legs. Often when you see it cited or described in classical literature, it shows a bloated belly that retains water, and one of the symptoms is an insatiable thirst. And so one is feeling like he's dying of thirst and filling himself with water, and the more he drinks, the more he retains. The more he retains, the more he thirsts. And so it's a vicious cycle. And that's why this man stands there in our place. Because we've all had this experience of spiritual dropsy, spiritual edema, in which we seek something that is not Christ, thinking that it will fill us, and for as bloated as we may feel, we don't find satisfaction. Think of any of our obsessions, our gluttony of every stripe, or possessiveness, or vanity, or pride, or fill in the blanks. Thomas Aquinas, when he speaks about the difference between spiritual and carnal sins, he says that the more dangerous are the spiritual sins, because the glutton ultimately has to put down the fork. On the other hand, the person who is addicted to spiritual sin, whether it's vanity or possessiveness or pride or whatever, is never satisfied. And it's something that becomes an addiction. Thomas says also that temporal punishment for sin in this life is precisely the addiction, because it reveals to us who our true God is, that we have not chosen the objective God, rather a God of our own making. Our passions, our appetites, if left unfettered, will demand totality. And so our Lord allows us to fall into all sorts of sinful habits to show us the makeup of our interior. There is a French poet, François Villon, who says, "Je meurs de soif auprès de la fontaine." I die of thirst next to the fountain. When we have Christ here before us, when we have Christ exposed in the Blessed Sacrament, when we receive Him, we go to the source. We have access to the source and the end of all spiritual life. And nonetheless, we find these competing thirsts that can crowd out our thirst for Christ. Yesterday's Ember Saturday collect points us in the right direction. We asked our Lord to fill us with His grace through fasting. And that's not ironic. To fill us through fasting and to strengthen us through abstinence. And so our Lord, who meets people where they're at, not in order to leave them there, but to reveal something, I think is toying with these Pharisees in the way He places the question. He places it in a very legalistic way, something that is more along the lines of a contract. And He says, is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath? Because that's the way they think, and they're reduced to silence. If He's speaking to somebody whose interior life was in order, he would say, is it good to heal on the Sabbath? And we know the answer to that one, but he puts them in this situation of confusion. In fact, confusion for sin is something that we should ask for, because sin is a form of schizophrenia and insanity. That's why St. Ignatius of Loyola mentions in his spiritual exercises for the first week that we should ask for the grace of confusion over sin. Because when we look at it, we ought to be confused when we consider our bad choices. So what does our Lord do? It says, he took him and healed him and sent him on his way. He took him. We use the word take. Luke uses this verb lambo to mean take in the Last Supper narrative. Christ took the bread, lambone. He took the bread, blessed it, broke it. So took. But here we see the importance of prefixes. Epilambonen. So he took him by placing his hand gently on him. Paul will use a similar verb with a different prefix when he's talking about his own encounter with Christ. It's katalambonen. And this katalambonen is forceful. There's a certain aggressiveness in it in the way Paul describes it. He took me by force. He took possession of me, says Paul, when he's talking about Christ entering into his life. So our Lord approaches each one of us in a way that we will understand, in hopes that we will correspond with his grace. So this is the importance of prefixes. So the way this verb is laid out by Luke is that he took him gently. He placed his hand on him. He seizes him, but not with force. In order to what? Therapeo. Therapeo is an interesting word which has three meanings. It can mean heal or cure, which is the clear meaning of it here. It could also mean worship of God, but it could also mean to wait upon somebody as a valet or a butler. To wait upon somebody. And we see our Lord patiently, humbly waiting for this man to reveal to him his illness. And how humbly our Lord waits for us to reveal to him our illness in confession. We ought not make him wait long. How does Christ gently place his hand on us in order to heal us, to cure us, to lead us to true worship? He waits for us in the confessional. He waits for us in the Eucharist. He also allows us this immediate contact with him, not only through the sacraments, but also through the theological virtues. Because it's precisely in the theological virtues where man and God cooperate directly. That's why they're called theological virtues, because our Lord is one of the principal actors, but not without our cooperation. And the object of the theological virtues is our Lord. St. John of the Cross, one of the greatest spiritual writers in history of the church, he was called the pneumopathologist of the soul. He was a doctor of the soul who understood all of the maladies of the soul. And I recommend you take for your homework Book 1 of the Ascent of Mount Carmel, chapters 6 through 10, in which he reveals these different pathologies of the soul. And he goes through each sense, how our attachment to the sense then leads to further sins. He uses the word appetites frequently. He almost never uses the word sin. And he doesn't consider the appetites as something always pejorative. He says we also have to have an appetite for God. We also have to have an appetite for Christ crucified. And so our appetites are not condemned, but through our own experience we know how they've been misdirected in many cases. He says, the soul does not have full health until love is complete. A sickness is nothing but the lack of health, and when the soul has not even a single degree of love, she is dead. In the measure that love increases, she will be healthier, and when love is perfect, she will have full health. Because we were created by God, who is love, and we're created for love. He's planted in us an innate desire for Him. When we misdirect this desire and channel it towards something else, we become much like this dropsical man through our pleasure seeking, our possessiveness, our vanity, etc. And our Lord allows us the frustrations and the emptiness that we can experience from that precisely to reveal to us that that was not the right way. St. Augustine says, do I seek Him because I found Him? Or is it because I seek Him that I find Him? He says, I'm not sure which comes first. But there's a certain insatiable desire here in this contemplative soul of St. Augustine, who seeks and finds, he seeks all the more. So notice the different dynamic of seeking satisfaction in created things, which leaves us bloated and empty, and the constant seeking of Christ, which brings satisfaction, and then nonetheless doesn't leave us completely content in this life, because our possession of Him, in as much as we are in this life, is still imperfect. And so this dropsical man stands there in our place, bloated and empty, in need of Christ, and then Christ comes into his life in a radical way, and he's healed on multiple levels. Our Lord took him, healed him, and sent him on his way, and yet his way is no longer the way of before. It's a new life in Christ. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Ghost.